Amen.
We're continuing on with the How to Manage Your Emotions class. And as promised, I'm going to start this morning with the baby eaglet. And for those of you who haven't heard this story yet, when the baby eaglet is still in the shell in the egg, developing, he develops this little tiny sharp tooth in the front of his beak. And that tooth is placed there so he can peck away at his shell to break through. This takes a very long time to happen. Now, human beings being what we are, we see little creatures struggling to get out of a shell like that. And what do we want to do? We want to reach down there and we want to start peeling the shell away for him to help him out, don't we? Well, the problem is that the baby eaglet needs that frame of time that it takes to get that shell pecked away in order for it to develop properly and for it to become strong enough to survive once it's out of the shell. Now, by us peeling away the shell for him, he has not built up the stamina that he needs. He hasn't built up his muscle tone the way he needs. So now when he comes out of the shell, he can't stand up. He can't fly or anything because he hasn't worked their muscles and got them ready to actually do these things. Because after all, us in our mercy, we decided to reach out and help clear the shell for him. We really didn't. 9 times out of 10, these eaglets die because they don't survive. Okay, now, you know, we do the same thing with any kind of bird. But it's just, you know, when you think about the eaglet, it's just a whole different thing. So, you know, struggle is part of life. And struggle is something that causes us to be strong. And without that struggle, we aren't going to make it. Okay, we need that struggle to build us, to get us ready for life. If we don't struggle through our turmoil, through that shell, getting out of our shell, then we're not going to be able to work through the things that we run into every day in our lives. It takes that building, okay? That it's like a character building thing. With children, if we don't let children go through their failures and through their disappointments and stuff, then we set them up to not survive as adults because they think everything's always going to go their way, and it doesn't, okay? They think they're always going to have the best. Well, they may not someday. And we don't prepare them for that because in our mercy, we want them to have it all, okay? We want them to have everything that we didn't have, to have more than we had. Whatever the case is, that's what we do. And in the long run, what we do is we hinder what God naturally put in place to happen, and that was the struggle. Because all kids go through a struggle growing up. It's how we learn to deal with that struggle is how we grow up, okay? And some people become angry because of the struggle. Some people become positive because of the struggle. You know, it depends on how we look at it, our perception of it. And so, you know, and all this has to do with our emotions. Now, I'm sorry, what I see the most is in spoiled children. What happens is when they don't get their way, what do? They cry, they have a fit, they make everybody around them miserable until they get what they need or want. That isn't necessarily good for them, okay? But if we respond by giving in to those bursts of emotions, then what we've done is we've said, oh my, that's terrible. I don't want them to be in that shape. And we fix it. And we're doing them the greatest disservice because our children need to learn that the world does not revolve around. Okay, and that's one of the biggest problems in the world today is people are so selfish because they were raised believing that everything revolved around them. The world is not a perfect place. There's things out there that go wrong. And if we don't allow our children to face up to these things and to struggle through them and how to deal with them, then that when they become an adult, they come totally unwrapped because they can't do it by themselves. They need you to tell them how to get through it. And we can't always be there for them. So, you know, we're emotional people, and we see people in trouble or hurting or whatever the case is, and we want to help. But what we actually are doing is we're taking it upon our emotions to motivate us. And what we need to do when we find ourselves in this spot is stop a minute and say, God, what would you have me do in this circumstance? Because maybe God's put that person, even your child, even though it's hard to watch, in that place, because he's trying to work on them. And he's trying to get them to go on to the next step. But he can't do it if you keep helping them out. Okay? So in our emotionalness, we want to help. We want to make it all better. We want to make the bad stuff go away. We want it to be a pretty world for our children to grow in. In reality, though, that isn't the way the world is. And if we don't allow our children to see how the world is and to help them to understand the world as it is, then when they become adults, they aren't going to know how to handle it. So, you know, you got to understand, just because you want to help doesn't necessarily mean that's what God wants you to do. We need to group that emotion with wisdom and with the Holy Spirit and let Him lead and guide you. Because our emotions will get us to do all kinds of things, you know. And we're bad about it with our kids because, after all, that's our child. We don't want to see them crying. We don't want to see them hurt. We don't want to see them doing without. So we do it. We give in. We're building monsters, selfish little creatures that don't think outside of themselves. Okay? This is not what we want to do. And in our infinite wisdom as parents that we don't have, okay, because children don't come with an instruction book, we mess it all up. Because we give and we give and we give and we give, and we end up with ungrateful children who would spurn us just as quick as love us. So, you know, we are at fault. Okay? Listen, young ladies, because you will be a mother one day soon. Hopefully not till you're ready. But we don't get instruction books with these things. And you got to balance things. You got to give to them. You want them to have things, but you got to balance things. And the same thing's true with the other people around us. You know, you got to ask God's wisdom before we jump in with both feet and both hands open in our pocketbook and our wallets and our houses and stuff, and ask God, what do you want me to do in this circumstance? And then follow God's leading. He says, set on your wallet, set on your wallet. If He says, take it in with open arms, then by all means, take it in with open arms, but know that you opened up for it. And sometimes we get more than we want when we do those things. So, you know, you can't go on emotions. You get yourself in that spot where you opened up with open arms. Oh, yeah, come on in. We're going to help you out and stuff. And then you're going, oh, my God, how did I get to this place? Because you never asked God if He wanted you to take Him in. So, you know, you have to use wisdom with those emotions to stay balanced. Now, emotional people we all are to some degree. Some of us are emotionless about some things. Okay? Our emotions are stuff that God gave us so that we would know how to act. Now, if God didn't give me the emotions of happiness, I would never know the joy of holding my child. If God didn't give me the emotion of sadness, then I wouldn't have known that it was proper to cry when my grandparents died. Okay, if He didn't let me know excitement, then I wouldn't know what it was to actually serve God and see the glory move. It wouldn't affect me. Okay, we need emotions, but we have to learn to balance them out in our lives so that they don't run us. We want to manage our emotions. We don't want our lives being overtaken by how we feel. Because, you know, I deal with this every day. I just feel so bad. I just got lay here in this bed, can't get up for nothing. Yeah, that's what you can do if you want your emotions to let you do it. Because, you know, after all, you don't really want to do anything anyhow but lay there in that bed. Or are you going to wake up and go, oh, man, I'm stiff this morning. Yeah, get up and go ahead about your business, get ready and stuff, and go ahead to work and do your job that day. And by, you know, sometime around 8, 9, 10 o'clock, you're going, and I don't feel so bad anymore. You know, I've worked out those kinks and stuff. I've been going right along. Boy, I've gotten a lot done today. But see, it's all our emotions and how we let them do us. A depressed person, you know why they sit around and mope all day and do nothing? Because of how they feel emotionally. The only way to get over depression is to say, I don't care how I feel. I'm going to do stuff anyhow. And then get up and do it. And as we do stuff, we work ourselves out of the depression. I've never known a depressed person in my life that has sat down just, oh, woe be me, and pull themselves out. You get out of the depression by not focusing on it. That's an emotion. Don't let it control you. So, okay, I don't feel good. I don't feel like getting up and going to church this morning. Well, get up and get dressed anyhow, because you know that's what you're going to do. Put on your happy face. Get yourself in the mood. Turn on the radio. Listen to some happy music. Get yourself pumped up so you can feel better by the time you have to go to church. It's how you let your emotions rule you. Okay? There's mornings I wake up and I go, oh, man, this bed just feels so good. I just want to lay here. And if I let my emotions get away with it, I would, okay? But I know I got, man, I might be able to lay here for 15 more minutes, but, man, then I got to get up. You know? And I get myself up and I go to work and I do what I got to do. But, you know, our emotions, we can either give in to them all the time or we can manage them. And we need to learn to manage them. I'm going to go over four different categories, personality categories that we have. They're the four basic types. And you have to understand that just because it's four different categories does not mean that you fit into one of them. Personally, I think I have a little of all four in me. Okay? And I think that really we all have all of these in us. It just depends on which one's dominant, on which one is more aggressive in your personality. Okay, so the first type of personality that we have is a choleric. And a choleric is basically people who are born leaders. C-H-O-L-E-R-I-C. And basically, they are strong personalities that want to be in control. I know a lot of those people in my life, okay? I know a lot of people who have that control thing going. Have to have everything their way. Want it done when they need it done, you know. There's a lot of people with that going on, okay? Yes. Yeah. Do it my way. They want to be in control. Now, this can be a strength in a personality, okay? It can be. But you have to learn how to manage it. You have to learn how to manage the emotions behind it to keep you balanced. Or you can become a brute. Nobody will like you. And everybody will think that you're bossy and not want to be your slave for the day. Okay? Because that's how they'll view themselves. Okay? Because they do have a tendency to be bossy. They do have a tendency to be pushy people. Now, they're normally strongly goal-oriented. So that means they get something in their mind and they stick with it and they push through. Okay? Till they get to the other end. Now, they get a little overzealous about it sometimes at your cost. Okay, because they're not the ones doing the work. They're the ones controlling the reins. Okay, so think of it this way. You're in a car without wheels. You guys are the wheels. I'm the guy behind the wheel. Okay, I'm the coloring. I'm going to get you guys to carry me down this road as quickly as I can. I'm going to be pushing all the buttons. You guys are going to be doing all the work. Okay, that's usually what a coloring looks like. All right, they're usually one of those people who are serious about what they're doing. They don't understand why all of you guys can't whip into shape and do it for me. Okay? That's a choleric. Now, the problem is that he doesn't understand why you're upset and stuff because he doesn't feel the way you feel. And he doesn't understand where you're coming from either. Okay? So all he sees is here's the goal, here's where I'm going, come on, get me there. He doesn't understand that it's hard work getting him there. Okay? He doesn't understand why we're disgruntled because you aren't helping out. Yeah, I don't mind getting you there, but do you mind getting out and helping push? Instead of being added weight to the load that we're carrying. And that's where a choleric usually is. Now, the second personality type is phlegmatic. It's P-H-L-E-G. M-A-T-I-C, for those of you trying to spell it. P-H-L-E-G. Matic. M-A-T-I-C. Okay. This one shows little or no emotion whatsoever. The house is burning. Oh, okay. Got everybody out? I just wrecked the car. Oh, gee, that's bad. Do we have something else to use? Okay, I mean, yeah, this is no emotion, okay? It's like, oh, okay. Yeah, sometimes I can be accused of that. When I was having my car worked on, the guy working on my car talked to my husband and said, doesn't she ever get upset about anything? Well, no, not really. Is it going to do me any good to get upset? Is it going to fix my car? Is it going to buy the parts? Is it going to do the work? It's not. So should I be upset? Nah. It's just facts. This is what needs to be done. Got to do it. It's not that I'm not emotional about it, but does it help me to get upset? Have an ulcer over it? Load myself down with stress? No. So I'm managing my emotions and saying, you know, I ain't got time for all that. I got to get this fixed. And I focus on what needs to be done to get it fixed. Okay? Something goes wrong at work. We have a quality issue. Things go bad. Okay? I'm not going to freak out over it. I'm going to say, okay, we got a problem here. Hey, just stop everybody from doing what they're doing. Get that stuff out of the way that's bad so it doesn't get mixed in with everything else. Okay? Now go ahead and make sure that there's nothing bad in that batch and let them start working. And okay, now we got this all sorted out over here. Let's figure out how to fix this. And we fix it. Am I going to get upset about it? No. Why? Because it's not going to help me to get upset about it. I need to figure out how to get it right so I can get it back to my customer. After everything's straightened out and fixed, then I can figure out how not to let that happen again. You know, because it happened, there's some kind of error in the way that we do things that it happened. So now I got to figure out, okay, how do I make sure this doesn't happen again? And that's how we go about it. Do we get upset? Do we beat people up over it? No. Because apparently there was some kind of error in there, or you wouldn't have been able to make this, you know, problem. So we got to figure out how to make sure nobody else makes this happen. And that's how we look at it. So it's not that I'm not emotional, but emotion does me no good in this situation. When your child's laying there with their bone sticking out of their leg because they broke it, does it help you to get all frantic and hysterical about it? No, it doesn't. Does it help your child? No, it doesn't. So you need to stop, say, okay, calm down, and take care of the situation. We were sitting at our house one day on the ramp, and it was me and my mom and a couple of the kids, and all of a sudden we heard the screaming next door. Now, we often hear yelling and stuff over there. Don't think anything about it. The kids are loud over there. But this time we heard, he's killing them, he's killing them. You know, and we thought, there's something definitely wrong going on over there. So I went over there, and the dogs had been playing, and one dog got his tooth wrapped up under the other dog's collar in the playing, and he couldn't get it off. And so he's running, dragging this dog between his front legs, and he's choking him. Okay, and everyone's being frantic. They're beating on him and everything else. The dog is going, wah, I don't know what to do. I got this thing hanging from my mouth. You guys are beating on me and yelling at me. And he's going crazy because everyone is just hysterical. When I got over there, the first thing I did is says, you've got to calm down. Just calm down. Quit screaming. Calm down. Everything's going to be okay. And we took him. We got everyone calmed down. And then everyone, it just kind of like a calm settles. And everybody, the dog's calming down. Everyone's calming down now. We get the tooth out, and the dog in the mouth goes, burp. And the kids scream. Okay, he's dead, he's dead. Once again, emotions are in rain. Okay, and they're starting, I'm going to kill him, I'm going to kill him, and stuff, he killed my dog. And their emotions are in control again. Okay, calm down, calm down. The grandfather picks up the dog, walks around the corner of the house, rubbing the dog. He brings him back around the corner, sets him on the ground. He's holding his head up, and he at the kids. Okay, was all the screaming and stuff helping anything? No. But it was emotions out of control. Okay, emotions out of control. You have to keep the emotions reined in. Emotions out of control like that do not help any situation. That's why we get angry at people, because we don't keep our emotions in check. If we keep our emotions in check, we may find there's no reason to be angry. We misunderstood what we thought we heard. We have the wrong perception of what we saw. You know, whatever the case is, but because our emotions automatically kick in and hit that button and that wah! We react to a situation and we always do the wrong thing. You can't take that back. So these guys that have no emotions, at times that's good. Okay, at times that's good. But if someone's sitting there beating your kid silly and you have no emotions about that, you got a problem. Okay? There is a time and a place to show no emotion. So, yeah, I do have some of that in me. Okay? But I like to think it's in the practical sense when I need to have it. Otherwise, I cry at commercials, okay? I'm very emotional. So, yeah, it's a crazy thing. I cry at our little things that we show before the services sometimes. Okay? They have to complement. These different personalities have to complement each other for us to be balanced. Now, you know, people that have this problem need to kind of exercise their faith a little bit. Because what you're saying by saying that, you know, you have no emotion, you need to step out of your box a little bit. If that's you and you really show no emotion, you need to step outside of your box a little bit and take some risk. Because part of the problem is that somewhere along the line, you've been hurt to the point that you're not going to be hurt again. And so now you need to kind of take a step of faith out of that box a little bit and just say, God, I'm trusting you. I'm going to do the things you're asking me to do, even though it's out of my norm, even though it means taking risk, even though I might become involved emotionally with people again. Because a lot of times it's because people have been hurt so badly, they don't want that risk anymore. So you have to understand that sometimes that comes from hurt, wounds that are never really healed. And sometimes we have to help these people work past that. By helping them to see that it's okay to be emotionally involved with people. It's okay to feel hurt sometimes. You know, if we didn't know what sorrow was, we'd never know what joy was. You know, we have to have a mix of both. So it's, you know, you have to remember, it can be really dull sometimes living with people that don't show no emotion at all. But sometimes they're there because of a reason. Too much emotion. Emotional overload, you can call it. They've shut down their emotions, so they just don't feel. The third personality type is called Sanguine, S-A-N-G-U-I-N-E. And it's probably the most emotional of all the types. Okay. It's that bubbly person that bounces into the room. Hi, how is everybody? Ready for a party, aren't we? You know, type personality. You know those people. They come in. They bring that bubbliness with them. You could have been sitting there like this. And once they come in the room, within a minute, you're all smiling. And you're all up moving going, hey, what's going on? And stuff. You've come alive. Because they've infected you with their bubbliness. Okay, that's this type of person. Easy to tell them, okay? You know them when you see them. Now, you know, just something about them says, I'm happy about being here. I'm so glad to see you. You know? Oh, there you are. It's not here I am. It's there you are. How good it is to see you again. That's these type of people, okay? They have a tendency to get on nerves of the caller person, the person wants to be in control. Because after all, you kind of mess up my scales here some, you know. I'm being all serious about this. You know, we got to be serious. And you're just not serious enough for me. Okay? It reminds me of the old time traditional religious people when they come into the service and they look around and go, what are these people doing? Why aren't they in their seats? Why are they screaming and shouting and jumping around? What is wrong with them? Don't they know they need to sit down in church and be quiet? Okay? That's where I'm coming from. Okay? They're the guys in control, and we're the ones that are out of the box, jumping around. Hi! We're having a good time. Aren't you happy to be in the house of God? And they're going, oh, God, would you just turn around and leave me alone? Don't touch me. I don't want your hugs. You know? Okay? This is and the honest truth is that we don't realize that we're that annoying to other people. okay? Because we're just so happy with ourselves and with things in general that we don't realize how much of a pain we are to those around us that are not where we are at. Okay, it's like the other morning I was bringing Jimmy back from the clinic, and I'm sitting there, I'm just talking and rattling on. He's going, not right now, Mom. And I'm going, and it took me a minute to catch on what he mumbled. And I'm just chattering. I said, not right now, Mom. Matter of fact, pull over to the side of the road. He had to throw up. He was sick to his stomach. I'm just chattering on. Not a thing wrong in my world, right? But he wasn't where I was. He could not see it, okay? So, you know, we can be nice and we can be serious people, but we do it in a happy way, okay? When I go out on the lines at work, I go out, okay, guys, what are we doing? Let's get this done. Yeah, we're working, but we're going to have a good time doing it because, after all, we're with each other and we like each other, don't we? We're going to have a good time doing this job. That's the difference between me and some of my staff that go out there and go, okay, I got another job to run here, Dick. I got everybody. Yeah. Guys know what you're doing? Okay. You go ahead and do your job. I'll be over here doing my job. Okay, it's the difference between the two of them. You got that, hey, let's get her done. And we got that, okay, yeah, everybody, you go ahead. I'm watching you. Okay? So, they're your bubbly people. The people that are happy. Okay? The people you enjoy see coming. Because after all, they're going to lighten up the room. They're going to take some of that load that you've been feeling all morning off your shoulders. That's the type of people we all should be, okay? Now, the thing is that these type of people usually marry the fourth type, which is, can you guess? Melancholy. Okay? These people are probably the most depressed, unhappy people in the world. Okay? I think they do it either, A, to either torture themselves, or B, to hope that it brings them out of themselves and that they become someone different being in their presence. Okay, I just can't see it any other way. But I think that's kind of what it is that we're going to help each other. I'm so happy, I'm going to help you become happy. Here, let me show you how to be happy in life. And they're going, oh, God, it's morning. Put the pillow, leave me alone, go away. Okay? They are. They're out there all over the place. These people have the most trouble with depression because they're such deep thinkers. They're organizers. Okay? I like to think of myself as both. I'm a deep thinker, and I also like to organize everything. Okay, that's probably one of my pet peeves. I like everything in a certain way. Sometimes my mother wouldn't agree with that, but I do. Okay? They're the people that organize their spice rack by putting everything in alphabetical order. Okay, time mating socks or shoes together. I don't do that kind of stuff. That's just too much time and not practical to me. Okay, I want to reach in, grab it, and go. I don't want to have to unknot that darn lace now that I've tied them together. Okay, that's not me. But there are things that I have to be organized at. So I got a little bit of this guy in me too. Okay, see, I have a little bit of everyone in me. All right, because I do like to be organized. I like everything in its proper place. You know? That's how you find it next time around. If you come in and clean my house, I'm going to be lost for the next month. Because I'm going to be trying to find where you stuck everything as you cleaned. Okay? Because everything was in its place. May not have seemed like its place to you, but that's where I know it is. And I keep it there on purpose all the time because that's the easiest place that I can get to get it when I want it. But you don't understand that because it's not yours. It's not your place. So these people here are the people who always have a plan, okay? And even though the other guy, the bubbly guy, doesn't ever have a plan, they get married together anyhow, okay? I'm sorry. These guys are the ones that will park their car in the parking lot, come out of the store and go, okay, now where did I park at? I can't find it. You know, the other day I walked out of Food Lion and I walked up to a car, was getting ready to reach out and grab a hold of the handle. I went, oh, that's not my car. It was approximately the same spot, same color, same size. That was not my car. And I turned around like this and looked, yep, there it was. I walked over there and I got my car. Now, I usually know where my car is parked. I do. Okay? Because that's one thing I've learned in my life is when I come out of a store or go into a store, I'm looking to see where I'm at in reference to the store. Okay, so I know where to go when I come out. Because one time I didn't, and I got in someone else's vehicle and was trying to put my key in there initially when I realized, hey, same color, same brand, make, but not mine. The interior is all different. Gee. Okay, so that's the fourth personality. They have the hardest time with remembering things, having plans for things, because they spend a lot of time depressed and thinking about things that will never probably happen to them in their life. But they got to think about it anyhow, because after all, I'm a deep thinker. All right? Those are the four types. The one thing that you have to know is even though we have more than one of the types in us, that we have to learn to balance our emotions. And because we have all these things in us, we need to learn how to balance them out so that we become well-balanced people. And we can learn to do that and how to control our weaknesses and our strengths sometimes by the Holy Spirit so that we can become well-balanced. If there's something in your life that you really need to get control of, ask the Holy Spirit to help you with it. Because after all, you don't have the wisdom to fix it, but He does. And He can help you and show you what you have to do to be controlled, to have control of your emotions. Because if you don't become a well-balanced individual, then Satan can control you. Because he'll use your emotions at every turn to make you think things that aren't true, make you do things because of what you feel. Okay? I really have to have that cigarette. No, you don't. That's Satan making you feel that way. I really want that drink. No, you don't have to have that drink. That's just Satan making you feel that way. Tell him to go away. Leave you alone. You don't have to let those feelings, those emotions, rule us. None of us. Okay? We're going to stop there for today. We'll come back next week and talk about emotions all over again. Okay? They're great things, aren't they? They're wonderful. Sister Shirley, can you close us in prayer?